This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, our Maker, help us know ever more deeply how you see us, how you love us, how you would have us live in your holy name when life is challenging. And when life is smooth, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls, our very bodies, and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. I have been reading again for the umpteenth time this little wonderful book by Henry Nouwen called Life of the Beloved. He wrote it at the request of a young reporter named Fred, who had come to interview him at Yale Divinity School, and that conversation would be the start of a great friendship, lifelong, really. Henry, a Roman Catholic priest, mentored and inspired Fred to become a novelist. And Fred, a young Jewish journalist, challenged Henry to write a book for him and for his friends, for young, ambitious men and women wondering what life is all about. Henry writes that he was hearing this same thing coming at him from many different students and people in the community who were confused about the Bible, about government, about life in general, who had either left the church or had never gone to church, from people who didn't want to spend their Sundays at church when their work week felt so compressed. Others were just fed up by going to church and seeing the hypocrisy and the greed. And so Henry writes, and I quote, "I heard it from all sides, wherever I was open to hear it. And in the end, it became for me the most pertinent and the most urgent of all demands. Speak to us about the deepest yearnings of our hearts, about our many wishes, about hope, not about the many strategies for survival, but about trust, not about new methods of satisfying our emotional needs, but about love. Speak to us about a vision larger than our changing perspectives and about a voice deeper than the clamorings of our mass media. Yes, speak to us about something or someone greater than ourselves. Speak to us about God." This book was written in 1992, 25 years ago. This plea persists today, and if anything, has gotten stronger. Today, when asking somebody about God or church, frequently they self-identify as spiritual but not religious, right? You hear that all the time. Well, let me say this. Jesus wasn't either. Jesus was not about religion. In fact, the religious authorities saw Jesus as a threat because he stood up so much to them. He was a rebel, and he wouldn't settle for every little single rule that they made. He wouldn't settle for their greed, for their dishonesty. And he knew one thing. And he lived to convey this one thing that was the foundation of everything he taught, his disciples and us, that we are beloved of God. And it's our job to know that so that we can act in love every day. Every day. If you were here the last 3 weeks, you heard the three parables of Jesus in response to these religious authorities. He was challenging them, talking right to them. First was, "I am the one." John the Baptist was talking about the Messiah. Second one was, "I'm here to tell you to take care of this beautiful vineyard, this beautiful gift that you have been offered." And then last week, "Say yes to the invitation that is there for every single person, all. Good and bad," it even said in the text. All people are invited. But they still didn't hear. So they went away to plot some more, and they come back to him, and that's where we begin today. They come back again with another plot. But instead of just the religious guys coming from the synagogue, the Pharisees, they bring with them the government guys. And the government guys were the Herodians. Herod had been declared king of the Jews in that section, and he served the emperor in Rome. So they were called Herodians. And so the two of them really never got along. They didn't normally mingle with each other, but they wanted Jesus gone. That one thing they agreed upon. So they came together to try to trap him in the story today. Even though the Pharisees didn't agree about the taxes they had to pay to these oppressors who were there, it paid for them to be in their community and oppressing them. Even though they didn't like it, they went along with this trick that they thought would get Jesus out of the way once and for all. But he doesn't fall for their sneaky question, their hypocrisy, as he calls it, when they asked, is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? So if Jesus had said yes, the so-called religious people would want him killed. If he said no, the government people would want him killed, and he doesn't play their game. He goes right through it, and he calls them on it. And he says, why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? He says, show me the coin. Show me the coin. And it looked like this, and the inscription on it was Tiberius, son of the divine Augustus, which is the emperor. In other words, calling the emperor the one that should be worshipped, the one that was divine. And if you didn't bow down to that, you would be killed, tortured. So Jesus looks at it. He doesn't give one hoot about their game. No matter what was on that coin, it had no value in the realm of God. And in fact, it broke the first and second of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, and don't worship idols. Give, therefore, to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's, he tells them. Brilliant. He got them again, but they'll be back. They were amazed, and they leave, but they'll be back. Give to God the things that are God's. Meanwhile, our Lord continues to urge his followers to know who they are and whose they are and honor that. Give to God what is God's. And here's where we get back to Nouwen's book. And the urging of this younger friend to write this book that goes beyond all their confusion about church and government, it gets real about God and everyday life. If church and religion don't help us do that, then it isn't church or religion, and I want no part of it either. If we aren't reconnected to God and to our Creator, when we come to church, I wouldn't come. Well, no, I wouldn't say that. You can keep coming. Because sometimes we just have to have ears to hear. Sometimes. Jesus did not come to start a religion. Jesus came to show us we are beloved and urges us and guides us how to become that in our lives. So Nouwen begins with that, begins his book. We are made in the image and likeness of God and beloved. Once we get that, we can't help then to want to give it out and share it with other people. Can't help it. Giving that love to others and to the world, when we know we have that love within us. I know how easy it is for us to forget, though. When we are bombarded by advertising and tragedy and political turmoil and all that goes on in our lives, the sorrows and the celebrations, knowing and becoming who we are, beloved by God, is the great spiritual journey of our lives, Nouwen says. He then shares with us four words that were the most important in his life. And the four words are what we say every week when we make the communion together. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it. So it's taken, first word. He says when we look at that word, think about chosen. So God takes us, chooses us, each and every one of us, uniquely us, not in competition with one another, but in compassion and recognition that we each have something individual to give to this world. And when we're feeling rejected, read against the grain of popular culture. Read against the grain of the advertising and all the stuff that we are bombarded with in mass media, like this young Jewish guy was going to Henry about. We have to be aware constantly at what's coming at us and go within us to our Maker in our belovedness to read it properly. We don't have to take society's interpretation of how our lives should be. We are taken, chosen by God. And we are blessed. Blessed in the eyes of God. And the origin of that word is beni and diction. Beni meaning good. Dictio, word. So when we bless one another, we give a good word. We notice what is divine within each and every one of us as an expression of God. And especially in the beginning, if we don't quite understand that, what's helpful is to sit and take some time in the silence, to feel that, to say yes to that, and little by little it comes, but it does take practice. That's what we do in centering prayer when we gather here every Wednesday. It's to say yes to that belovedness and the activity of God within, and then we bless other people and one another and all creation with that good action of acknowledging one another. Henry Nouwen worked for a long time in a community for the severely physically, mentally, and emotionally challenged. And he said one day, a young, severely handicapped woman named Janet approached him and said, "Henry, can you give me a blessing?" And so, you know, as a priest, he went and he started to make the sign of a cross on her forehead and say the prayer. And she says, no, Henry, that doesn't work. I want a real blessing." So that night, when they all gathered for prayer, this is what happened. Henry writes, "I was wearing a long white robe with ample sleeves covering my hands as well as my arms. Spontaneously, when I invited Janet forward, she put her arms around me and she put her head against my chest. Without thinking, I covered her with my sleeves so that she almost vanished into the folds of my robe. As we held each other, I said, 'Janet, I want you to know that you are God's beloved daughter. You are precious in God's eyes. Your beautiful smile, your kindness to the people in your house, and all the good things you do show us what a beautiful human being you are. I know you feel a little low these days and that there is some sadness in your heart, but I want you to remember who you are, a very special person, deeply loved by God and all the people who are here with you.'" And then he writes that little by little, all the other people that were there, all the other patients in that place started coming forward, and they all ended up blessing one another in the name of Christ. And we experience times when we are broken, the third word, when we are broken. We all have that, and God knows Jesus sure did. We learn to share and to receive our belovedness with one another when someone is in need. If you think about the really important relationships that you have or the friendships, it's those people that you can share your deepest hurts with, your deepest challenges, the people with whom you risk being vulnerable with. And you're allowed to go deeper and deeper in your life with those people in our brokenness. And when we acknowledge that and when we're willing to share that with one another, somehow it's healing. That's why 12-step programs work. That's why support groups work. That's why healthy marriages and healthy friendships work, because we take the time to be able to do that with one another, broken and all. And then finally, the last word Henry writes that guides his life is given. Given. If you think of a time when you gave something to someone else that warmed your soul? Just think back on a memory possibly that you have. A time when you really gave of yourself to someone else, and think of how that made you feel. I have a memory from my childhood. I have five brothers and sisters, so there were eight in our household. And every Christmas, we kind of had a competition to see who could give our mom a present that would make her cry, make her really happy. And every year, one of us did, and it was usually because of something that we wrote from the heart or drew or created. You know, I tell my kids that now, but they think, no, I got to buy something. No. It's from the heart where we connect. And that's when we truly give one another. I give great thanks for those memories. When we were more concerned with giving than receiving at Christmas, which is not to say we didn't want the gifts, the presents. Let's just make that clear. Maybe you have a memory like that, giving of yourself, if not with a parent or your family, with friends, with other people. And if you don't have a memory of that, it's never too late. It's never too late. Taken, blessed, broken, given. We are to be the broken bread we receive. Know that you are loved, that you are chosen, taken, blessed, broken, yep, but given. To give back to God what is God's. You are a beautiful being. And if this is hard for you to believe, keep coming back. Keep asking God to show you. And give yourself a break. If this is welcome to your ears, I hope you will share your love with all. Amen.